Muammar Gaddafi telephoned into state TV today and said it's al-Qaeda militants who are behind his country's revolt, exploiting teenagers, giving them hallucinogenic pills in their coffee with milk like Nescafe. Here's more, provided by Al Jazeera.
We've been envied since we were living a decent life and people had no reason to complain whatsoever. It's obvious now that this issue is run by al-Qaeda.
There are reports that an al-Qaeda offshoot in Africa has urged its followers to join the revolt against the Libyan leader. But Libyans we've reached by phone are adamant this is a people's uprising. And while opposition forces and army defectors seem to be in control in the eastern part of the country, in Tripoli, residents are fearful. Joining us first, a 21-year-old in Tripoli. She was raised in the U.S., moved back to Libya last year. We won't use her name for security reasons. But you say your father was detained and injured after he got caught up in protest while trying to do business, and Gaddafi's forces opened fire on protesters?
They started shooting at people and arresting people, and he went through the crowd. He's in Maitiga Hospital, the military-based hospital here in Tripoli, and the past 2 days we were able to visit him no longer than a minute. Today we tried to visit him also, but we saw the African mercenaries. They were out guarding the place, and they were just yelling at us. They're telling us, no, you can't go in, you can't go in. They had weapons in their hands. If we did anything wrong, most likely we could have been shot at. That's what's happening right now. The streets are pretty much empty. They announced that work and school are back to more normal, but nobody's going. Shops are closed. There's checkpoints on every street corner.
Well, I don't want to unnecessarily frighten you even more, but we're reading reports that after Muammar Gaddafi called for not just the mercenaries but the security forces that are loyal to him to strike back at protesters, that they are in different cities. We're also hearing reports from people who've arrived in Turkey saying that they saw in Tripoli bodies hanging from electric wires. I mean, what did you see when you were out on the streets?
When we were out of the streets, everything seemed to be cleaning up. Evidence has been cleaned up. We heard that the bodies that were killed were actually taken and burned. We see graffiti that has been tried to be erased, painted over in the walls. They're trying to fix up whatever happened by the citizens the past few days. We heard a lot of killings have happened. I attended a protest a few days ago, anti-government protest. We were actually shut down by live ammunition. Everyone just scattered and left. A lot of people, after his speech that he gave, a lot of people grew in fear. Nobody wants to go out unless they have a green flag in their hand, protesting with him, with the government, chanting his name, yes, we want him. And these are people that they're either paid or bribed to do so. It's just a lot of fear that was instilled in these citizens. Even in our household, we're currently with our uncle's house, and even in the household, people have two different viewpoints. Yeah, you should listen to him. No, you shouldn't. So everyone's just being, it's a mess of confusion.
Are you afraid?
Not really. I mean, talking to the news is putting me in risk. I heard they're tapping my phone because of my dad's situation. They're following what we're saying. But in the end, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Whatever happens, happens.
Muammar Gaddafi is speaking on television today, and he's saying for people to keep control of their children. He says it's the children that are doing this, and they're incited by people from America, the Western world. And I'm thinking you are one of those children who spent time in America. Do you feel that this is specifically an attack on you?
Yes, basically, because he knows we're the only active members that are doing, you know, hyping up the protesting or encouraging all this. We're trying to help our own country, and yet we don't see the help coming through.
Would you like to see people from outside the country do something, or do you think that'll make it worse?
That's the thing. A lot of the fear is that we don't want anybody, any European country or the States, getting involved. The fear is that they would come in, help us out, yeah, but they might have a say in our governmental voting. But we do need the help. We do need aid. We're lacking in medical aid. what I've heard from people here, that we have a group of demonstrators coming from Benghazi who are marching towards Tripoli as we speak. And tomorrow, after Friday prayer, they all want to come out and try to free Tripoli also.
Will you go out to protest tomorrow?
We don't know yet. They're kind of worried that the females would get harmed or shot at, so they're very protective here. But if there is a big number out there, we will come out and we will support.
Listen, again, we're not mentioning your name out of respect for your safety, but just know that we'll be thinking about you. Please be safe.
Okay, thank you so much.
She sounds very stoic. Others are more fearful. Here's the BBC's Martha Carney talking to a man in Tripoli who fears for his son in Al-Zawiya. Now, that's just outside Tripoli, and it's where heavy fighting between pro- and anti-government forces has been reported.
My son-in-law lives there, and they've been running, and his phone dropped, and we tried to phone him. And, sorry. After that, we discovered that he is okay.
It must be a very worrying time for you and your family.
Yes.
Yes, you sound very distressed. Would you like us to stop the interview?
It's okay.
What do you think's likely to happen in the next few days in Tripoli?
I don't know. I'm afraid of chemical warfare.
Chemical warfare?
I don't know. They've got it. So they might use it.
And an eyewitness in Al-Zawiya told Al Jazeera that forces loyal to Gaddafi were firing on protesters nonstop for 5 hours today.
They used heavy guns, machines, that one which used to fire the tanks and airplanes. The people were there fighting with very, very small guns, you know, like hunting guns and handguns.
That's in the east. In the western city of Benghazi in Libya, we reached 45-year-old businessman Ahmed. That's what we're calling him. And Ahmed, today, Muammar Gaddafi told people to take control of their kids. But you say he's lost control in Benghazi. What is the mood there?
Very joyful. And we're waiting for our relatives and friends and brothers in the west. But the situation there, especially in the Tripoli area and the Zawiya area, it's really, really not going very well, to be honest with you.
So you're saying that the opposition is in complete control in Benghazi?
Complete control. So basically what it's been holding them to is Tripoli. And Zawiya also, he's losing grip on it. And he's, in fact, speaking to the Zawiya people. Because Zawiya, you know, it's very important because it has one of the largest gas factory in the world, which supplies directly to Italy. So, you know, what we need is that we need an international support to be. We need somebody to tell the guy, come on, pack your bags and go.
Who should that be? I mean, when you say you need international support, are you talking about just diplomatic support? In other words, people telling him to go? Or are you talking about...
You know very well who am I mean. Just who told Mubarak to leave and who told the Tunisian Ben Ali to leave? You know, of course, the Europeans and the Americans.
Yeah.
But the Americans and the Europeans are not ready to let go of this guy because they listened to him for the past 40 years, especially the last 10 years, is that either me controlling Libya or it's going to be an Islamist country that will destroy everything. This is bull. I'm sorry to from my friend speaking this way, but this is nothing. I've been here today and yesterday on CNN and also on Al Hurra, which is supported by the Americans. Everybody's talking about the Qaeda are blessing what's happening in Libya. We've got nothing to do with Qaeda. Please, we don't want him. If you guys keep him, that means this is a big hypocrisy with democracy, big hypocrisy with the freedom, big hypocrisy. We don't want this, please. 42 years, he put the country backward, and we want to live our lives before we die. The Al-Qaeda people, who wherever they are in North Africa, I don't know, they say that they are blessing the movement
right.
of the people in Libya.
Right.
We don't want their blessings. We
right.
don't want nothing from Al-Qaeda. Please, people, don't keep it. Listen, you guys. Did you guys listen to him when he spoke on TV live?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to have somebody ruling you with the same way he spoke? He's going to destroy us completely, the Libyans, house to house, street to street, to aisle to aisle.
What do you think will happen if Gaddafi steps down? Is there a person who's...
We're not going to be worse than we were, please. Libya, more or less 6 million people. From all the 6 million people that we have in Libya, we cannot have one man to take care of us or a group of people take care of us. We only have Gaddafi.
And Ahmed, just in the short term, how are how is food being distributed? Are services slowed down?
Believe me, nothing in short term. I have 3 kids. I have people working in my business working. We haven't run out of bread. We haven't run out of milk. We haven't run out of water. We haven't run out of gas. Electricity is working. Banks are open back again in Benghazi. Schools most likely are going to start on Sunday because our holiday is Friday and Saturday. Please, you guys listen to him and his entourage more than us. The only way it's going to be reversed if he gets any support from somewhere else. And this is what worries me. I go too far ahead and be confident that that's it. The guy is done. And then when I don't feel that strong condemnation from the Americans and the European, that really gets me worried and gets me going, are we going to make it or not? I want your prayers and support, please. Tell your congressmen, tell your people, please. This is your time. You've been looking forward. Listen, people, this is your chance.
That's a man we're calling Ahmed in the east in Libya, in Benghazi, Tripoli, of course, in the west. We got a couple minutes before the break. Let's bring in Robert Powell with the Economist Intelligence Unit. And Robert, as we heard, joy from that man, but also a plea. This is your chance. Your thoughts on that? Your chance for what? What should and can the U.S. do?
In reality, it's deeply constrained in what it could do. He spoke. He's obviously things are hugely heated. And Benghazi, at least, is free of this regime for the time being. But the role of the U.S. really does have to remain on the sidelines. Certainly, President Obama's language has been much, much more vociferous than it was in the case of Egypt and Tunisia. You know, he described the action of the Libyan regime as outrageous. I mean, never went that far when he's speaking about the other regimes. However, as you noted in the first person who was interviewed spoke that they did not want. She did not want foreigners to come directly involved. Right. And that would certainly muddy and confuse the situation.
Well, in fact, everyone we've reached by phone in Libya has said no military action at all from the West. They don't want it to appear as if the West is doing this as opposed to it being a popular people's uprising. But as we just heard, please do something. Robert Powell, again, a Middle East analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit. We've been watching further unrest in Libya. Reports that Muammar Gaddafi is brutally putting down widespread unrest, at least in parts of his country, other parts of his country under the control of the opposition. He called in to state television this morning, blaming al-Qaeda for his protests, also comparing himself to the Queen of England. Let's listen.
The same case as in Britain, where for 57 years the Queen has been ruling, like the same sort of situation. I don't have the authority to impose or enforce rules upon the people. I have become more of a symbolic leader.
Let's bring in Robert Powell, Mideast analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Robert, what's going on here? This is a man who's divided and conquered his country for over 40 years. What is he trying to say?
He's trying to distance himself in many ways from the crimes of the regime. He says there's no point in revolting against him because he's not in charge anyway. Of course, he's comparing himself to the Queen of England because the Queen is a constitutional monarch and actually, in reality, has no power. It's all done, obviously, by the elected chamber and the prime minister. And in that way, he's obviously saying that it's not his fault. That's nonsense on every level. The country doesn't remotely work. The bureaucracy is a disaster, and it's absolutely a top-down polity. He pretty much runs everything, which is one of the reasons why the country barely runs at all.
Well, what do we make of the fears of a man from Tripoli that we heard, that Gaddafi might use chemical weapons on his own people?
It is thought he has all kinds of weapons nastiness that he could use. I mean, he obviously declared a clandestine nuclear weapons program a while ago. The feeling is that's the first time I've heard anything quite that extreme. And if he hasn't used it yet, then he probably won't use it at all. Equally, a number of his Air Force people have defected. because they refused to take orders to bomb Benghazi and other areas. You'd imagine any Air Force pilot would be even more averse to dropping chemical weapons on their own people. So hopefully we'd feel that it's not going to come about, but he's clearly willing to use a large measure of force against these protesters.
Well, and as we've been saying, in the east of the country, the opposition and military defectors are in control. It's in these pockets around the capital and Tripoli where his forces have come out for him. But who is this country now? I mean, this is very confusing for Americans because, you know, when the Scottish government freed the convicted Lockerbie bomber because he was supposedly dying, we saw Libyans celebrating when he returned. So there's this sense that there's this anti-Western feeling in Libya. But then we've been reaching people on the phone who's like, no, I'm in America all the time. You know, who is on the ground? Who are the people? And what might the divisions, you know, among the people be?
First of all, the landing in the Megrahi event, that was almost a stage-managed.
Megrahi, the Lockerbie bomber.
When he landed at the airport, that was stage managed. Huge numbers of people were clearly brought there. And Gaddafi is an enormously vain man, and he likes to associate himself with what he would consider a foreign policy triumph. So he was there as well, and it was all played up very much for the cameras. In terms of the Libyan people, it wasn't a huge surprise that these protests began in the east. Benghazi actually had a history of unrest. It is viewed as slightly more Islamist as elsewhere, but somewhat more importantly, it's been politically and economically marginalized during the rule of Gaddafi. So you do have a certain east-west split, and you do also have a tribal split. He has his own tribe, but it was noticeable that the Wasala tribe, who were about a million strong, came out against him a while ago. So there is a tribal dimension to this.
Yeah, well, even his cousin, I believe it is, his top aide in the same tribe, defected today. But who is left? Who supports Gaddafi? We heard an impassioned plea from a man in Tripoli saying he's so worried that someone will come and support him. Who would prop up Gaddafi?
The circle is closing. I think at this point he's untouchable. He has basically those who are probably complicit in the crimes and are with him all the way, probably a handful of true believers, and it's probably a handful. And then there's the rather more sinister mercenaries who, very little detail out there, seem to come from Chad and elsewhere. And obviously they're just doing it for the money. And when they decide they're not going to get paid, then they'll probably desert him as well, although they might wreak havoc.
Robert Powell, again, with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Do you think it's fait accompli now? Is Gaddafi going?
If I was to put my neck on the line, I said yes. I think he's done.
Yeah, and what happens then?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. It's promising. Initial thoughts, to be honest, that you might get chaos, given that there's no one else to step in, which is a natural product of his own oppression of the opposition. But it's very noticeable, even a country that's not perhaps hugely socially cohesive like Tunisia, that the stories from Benghazi and elsewhere are extremely promising. When the opposition have come in to control, people have come out on the streets, taking care of their own security, cleaning the streets. Tripoli and other places are actually quite tatty, quite dirty. But people are now beginning to develop their own civic society and are taking up some of the duties that have been ignored before. So it's hopeful that the tribes will stress unity, that they will take responsibility early, and that the country will, in fact, remain unified.
And we're well aware, Libya, a source of oil, but, putting that aside for now, just want to ask, you've said something I thought interesting, that if and when, and you think it's more, when he goes, we might be learning some things that might be very chilling.
Yeah, there's been some rather macabre stories coming out of old dungeons being unearthed, of prisoners who've not seen the light of day for years and had long since thought vanished, appearing long missing, but now as the regime weakens, entering the light of day. It's quite terrifying. God knows what kind of torture chambers will also be uncovered, and also what state secrets will also be uncovered. There's a lot of conspiracy theories revolving around Colonel Gaddafi, and all may be revealed very shortly.
Yeah. That's Robert Powell, again, Mideast analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit, speaking to us from New York. And by the way, we heard from people today that they thought that opponents of Gaddafi were, as we speak, marching on Tripoli to take on his forces there. Much yet ahead of us as we watch, again, just another incredible day in history unfold. Robert Powell, thanks so much for watching it with us.
My pleasure.